And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about this show. Man, it goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in, just for good measure. Hey, by the way, you hear the ads playing during the breaks? Let me just point something out to you. So Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We're a self-contained business. The stations that you guys listen to us on, they don't own our content. We do. We send them our show. The bottom line, though, is that like any other business, we have to run a business, and part of that involves revenue, and part of the way we do that is by selling ads. So if you guys are hearing the ads and thinking, huh, I love this show. I love the fact that Boomer and Phil have always got it going on. They talk like me. They think like me. You got to know that Right Side Ruffians out there would buy your services or products. Well, if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you. Just send us a message. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. We got a ton of stuff on there. You might want to see it anyway. You can live stream the show. You can see our podcast, our written podcast. You can read our articles. You can recommended reading list. You got a photo gallery. All that's on there. But you've also got a place on there where you can go to rightsideradio.org. Send us a message about advertising, and we'll get right back to you. You can't call the station. You got to call us. Rightsideradio.org, advertising. Love to talk to you. Let me finish up. You know what? Boomer, hit me some home fries. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we covered most of it. I got a couple things, though, that I thought were important enough to bring up. We talked about Birmingham Southern. We talked about Governor Ivey approving the West Alabama Corridor Project, and that just happened. By the way, there are still members of the legislature that are like, this is not right. We don't like it. I guarantee it's going to be a fuss and a fight. There's going to be more things happening. In fact, they did put a number of the contracts on hold. The legislature can't cancel a contract, but they have what's called the Contract Review Committee that is allowed to put a hold on them, 45-day hold. Well, one of those expired, and the first thing the governor did was sign it. So $75 million contract just signed for the West Alabama Corridor Project. Well, that's going to create a fuss. And if you live in that district, you're like, cool. But if you don't live in that district, you're like, $1 billion for what? So this is going to be an ongoing thing, I guarantee you. And I would bet that there's going to wind up being an infrastructure review on some of this to see why it prioritizes as high as it does. And I'm imagining a smoky backroom deal on this one. I don't say that lightly. I reject the notion that everything in politics is a smoky backroom deal. I've been there. I know. But sometimes it is, and this one feels like it. Here's a piece of breaking news for you. A minute ago, I told you that Alabama's own Gary Palmer had thrown his name in the hat to be speaker. This morning, he pulled his name out of the hat, and that the Republican caucus had gone behind closed doors. Apparently, they had, I think, 6 votes, and they elected, majority-wise, they elected Tom Emmer, who is the majority whip. That makes him like third in line, I think, in the Republican caucus. He's known for being more of a moderate. He's from Minnesota. So he had the majority. So basically, he was considered to be the nominee. However, understanding was, even though it was a private or like behind closed doors kind of vote among the caucus members, is that he still lacked at least 25 supporters that he needed to pass. Well, then Trump also came out and blasted him like an hour ago. Trump came out and called Emmer a globalist rhino. In Republican circles, a Trump shout that you're a globalist rhino is like somebody shooting bullets at you. That's exactly how it must feel in the political world. Well, Trump blasted him, well, as of 9 minutes ago, like literally while I was talking to Paul DeMarco, just about to go into a break, Tom Emmer has thrown things into chaos by also withdrawing from the race. So even though he won the majority vote in caucus, he was then blasted by Trump. And whether it's tied together, I don't know. I suspect that what's really happened is he realized he didn't have the support and he did not want to go to the floor and be the victim of multiple roll call votes that did not go in his favor. So some GOP lawmakers, apparently on Fox News, a hearer says, after the roll call, indicate the conference needs to move together to get a new nominee. I think next in line in terms of votes was Byron Donalds. I like Byron Donalds. And we also know, by the way, that at some point, I think that Jim Jordan had more support than Tom Emmer did. But is he going to jump back in? I don't know. All this, it's a mess, and it needs to get figured out, like figured out soon. Back on home fries, here's a couple more things as we finish up this segment, and I'll be done. This one you might want to know. Remember the lady, Carly Russell? Oh, boy. Carly Russell, who apparently pilfered some items from the nail salon where she worked, went and stopped at Taziki's and got herself something to eat, stopped by the store and bought some snacks, and then called her mom from the side of the highway on, I think it was 459 down in Birmingham, and said, "I saw a toddler working on the side of the road." And then she screams, and she's found, she's not found, she's gone. Well, she faked her own abduction. It was a mess. She came stumbling home a few days later feeling bad for herself. And yeah, that's where that case ended up. Well, she's been convicted now, but she was only found guilty of misdemeanors. Story here on WBRC Fox 6. Some Alabama lawmakers are working to ensure that any other case that comes up like Carly Russell's has increased penalties. They did not like Representative Mike Shaw, who represents part of the Birmingham area, I believe, said he expects to have a bill ready that he thinks is going to have widespread support. That there's he just doesn't think it's right that someone can do what they did, throw an entire community and really a nation into chaos, and then you get a misdemeanor. That's just, and I get it. So we're looking at probably a felony penalty put on. Last one I think I've got. Yeah, I'll call it the last one. I got one more after, but I'm not going to do it. Last one I've got came from Yellowhammer News. Yellowhammer has a piece. You may recall that, so here's the thing. Alabama's education rankings suck. Like we're at the bottom of the barrel. This is awful. And we need to pull ourselves up out of it. I believe that school choice is one of the things that has to happen. But there's also this thing called standards. Standards exist for a reason. When you have standards, it gives you a measuring stick. It's like, okay, if you bake a cake and one day you throw in half a cup of sugar and a cup of flour, and the next day you throw in a cup of sugar and half a cup of flour, you can't change it every time. You have to have a standard. You have to have a recipe. And well, right now in education in Alabama, the recipe is somewhat in flux, part of which is our reading levels are horrible. And studies apparently are clear to indicate that if you are not reading at grade level by third grade, that you face an uphill climb thereafter because it increases exponentially at that point. Well, the legislature in 2019 passed the Alabama Literacy Act, and they've been declining to enforce it ever since. But the legislature has been declining to enforce it. They don't want to get rid of it because that's like saying we don't care about standards, but they really don't want to bake that cake. So they keep moving the goalpost. It was supposed to be enforced in 2021. Well, COVID. Okay, then it's going to be enforced in 2022. Well, still COVID. And then maybe we'll do it in 2024. Yeah, that'll be good. Let's just push it down the line a little further because we don't care about the kids now. We just care about the kids in 2025. Well, all right, State Senator Arthur Orr, a friend of this show, has recently come out. He chairs, by the way, he chairs the Education Budget Committee in the Senate. And he said, you know what? We're not doing it anymore. We're not kicking this can down the road. He says, and his quote was, no, we cannot back down anymore. The problem, so many times, he says, is the family. They're not being assisted at home. And if we start telling them your kids are not going to go to the next grade level, then maybe they'll pay attention. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's basically what he said. He said there's no accountability at home for a child to get serious about their studies, and it shows. They're not being held accountable at home by their parents. Orr said one of the issues being worked on by state officials is making sure that students also actually show up to class because truancy or absenteeism is rampant. Anyway, there's your batch of home fries. Crazy stories happening right here in your backyard. Well, listen, we'll come right back from this break, and we'll jump to the next thing on the list. I'm calling this one gender benders. Holy smokes. Does it ever end? Where does it end? Well, it needs to end soon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.